No, I don't feel shame from eating IKEA meatballs.
I don't know. There has to be a limit.
And welcome back to another Linux Gamecast Weekly, the show that covers the latest Linux gaming news, reviews, how-tos, and most importantly, whenever the hell else we come up with. I'm Vince Stone, joined every week by Jordan Zweig and Pedro Mateus, and together with you on all the streaming services that we're running on this evening, helping us form Cocaine Voltron. Just two canes of joy and happiness.
It's supportive.
And stimulants. I didn't say what the canes were made of. You two, deal with it.
They're very supportive, just like LGC. We support.
Yeah, LGC cares, man. Oh, yeah, I don't know what you're on about. I bought something. That was kind of fun. It was an adventure. I had like a stopped up like sinus thing. I'm like, this is getting my nerves. You know, just like, go away. And it doesn't go away for like 2 or 3 days. And I've always wanted to buy one, but I've never had a reason to. I bought a neti pot.
I was going to guess.
Because we've talked about it, right? I was like, I'm not willingly just going to buy something to shove water through my head.
But now you're at the point where you're desperate enough to shove water through your head.
I was thinking about that. I got like a crazy high deductible to it. I was like, I'm going to go to a nosologist for a stuffed up. I'm like, no, I have an excuse to go. So I bought the good one, man. I bought the expensive one with the Bluetooth and RGB on it, right? And it came with like a year of like a neti pass.
It just stops working if you don't pay, if you don't have a contract. Right.
Neti is a service, 100%. Kind of a letdown. You know, I'm going to do this, and like, you see the videos, right, on YouTube.
Yeah.
And like, I'm going to start doing this, and like, the spiders are going to fall out along with like the, you know, Constitution or whatever the fuck's heading up there. Nothing. It was completely uneventful, boring, except my nose decided it was going to run for like 3 hours after that, and everything tastes real salty right now.
Is it clear though? Like, do you feel like you? Like, it's easier to breathe?
Well, it took me... Okay, here's another thing.
And you use, like, warm water, right?
Warm distilled water. They were very clear about that, like, 11 times. I'm like, well, you can't threaten me with a good time. You got to tell me, like, what's the side effects if I don't use distilled water?
Use seltzer water.
And, but here's the thing. Because this is... I didn't get, like, the traditional big pot one. I got, like, the advanced future-looking one with, like, a thing on the bottom of it that you can turn upside down for flow rates and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, I have the general idea. Like, I'm like, how do I use this? I take it out and I'm reading it. There's no instructions on this thing. It's effectively, you got this, bro. So anyway,
jam up nose, hope for best.
I'm using it right now. My toes are real nice and soft. And
instructions unclear. I have a tube coming out of my ear.
Yeah, I can't get it out of my skull. Please help.
Anyway, that's how my hamster drowned. Anyway, how about you, Jordan? Oh, by the way, if you're a patron, I'm going to have this out probably tomorrow, maybe the day after. A little bit of a story and cautionary tale of the very first FireWire audio interface and why that was such a big deal in 2001 when that came out. And we can all blame and thank Apple for it. Oh, that little preview video, it still needs some fine touches on it. I'm going to have that pushed out for all you guys and gals to take a look at. But Jordan Zweig, the man on a plane.
Yeah, not yet, but soon.
No, you're currently on a plane.
Listen, in my mind, I'm flying. You know what? I'm just going to end that thought right there. I went to IKEA this week.
You did? Did you get meatballs? Yes,
I did. I got three orders of meatballs. An order of meatballs that you get at IKEA.
Did you get like the first order? You're like, that's not going to work.
No. So this is not my first rodeo, son.
Oh, you know.
I have gone to the IKEA strategy for IKEA. Yes. Well, because like each serving is like 4 meatballs, so I'm like, I need 16 meatballs at least. Like otherwise, how, like okay. I'm gonna leave.
How big are these meatballs?
They're not big. They're like. They're like your standard hors d'oeuvre sized meatballs.
Okay.
Like if you've been to like a cocktail party or something, they have those like little meatballs with the toothpicks in them. They're about that size. I bought a bookshelf, bought a bunch of plates because IKEA, that's where you go for plates. They have nice plates for cheap.
Did you get the IKEA gaming setup?
I saw dude, right. That was there. They had a ROG case bolted down in like this fucking safe. I'm like, You actually brought like a real gaming computer in here, huh? This is okay. Or at least the case of one, because
I mean, people in Portugal would steal the little fake laptops models that they had on the desks. They would just steal them.
Yeah. So. Listen, when I was a kid, I wanted to do that too. Anyways, there's nothing exciting that happened at IKEA. It's just I went there. That
you
that
gorged
was
yourself
it.
On meatballs.
I ate a ton of meatballs.
Did you eat enough to feel shame?
No, I don't feel shame from eating IKEA meatballs.
I don't know. Like, there has to be a limit.
What is, you know what? Send us some hate mail. What is the shame limit of IKEA meatballs? I don't know.
When you realize that you've spent way too much money on them.
But they're like, it's like $2.50 an order of them, so you can load up on them, right? It's, you can get a lot of meatballs.
And that's Canadian. That's like 99p.
Yeah. And like, you get a decent helping of mashed potatoes. I don't know why the fuck I'm talking about this on a Linux gaming podcast. Pedro, did you do anything Linux related this week?
Before you even get started on that, Pedro, who was responsible for doing the arts and crafts?
Nori, obviously. She's the artist. So yeah, if you see more things on the wall behind me, that's literally the stuff that Nori had because they had the big exhibition at the end of the master's degree. So all of her art was being displayed. Judged. Yes. Also, yes. Now they had to take it down, and now it's here. There's a pile more on the table over there. So yeah, no, that's the ones she's really proud of, and especially those immediately behind me. Nori drew those based on a story that my little brother wrote. So. I am very proud all around.
I mean,
so.
I was expecting boobs, but all right.
I mean, you're not going to show us the pictures?
No.
Gotta let the AI bot scrape Nori's hard work.
Now I was thinking like we could do like Home Shopping Network with that big pile of art, but Pedro is like selling that. He's going to wave at the pile and like, there it is, by way.
What? You want an art? $5.
That's the thing. Again, Linux gaming podcast, probably not the best place to show off. Very good artwork, yes, but not the correct medium, I'd say.
I'll show you my bookshelf. Give me 5 minutes. I gotta go bring the. I haven't assembled yet, so I gotta like bring the fucking the flat pack down here.
You need to take time and like bring back like the leaning bookshelf in the background.
Yes, just slightly off.
You know it's gonna go.
I gotta call Tom and see if that thing was still there, because you guys didn't believe. You doubted, but it lasted. It lasted the entire fucking time.
I mean, law of averages, statistical probability of that thing like going down, and like especially you moved with that thing too,
just
man.
Like a stream at some point, and it just not being there. So what happened to the bookshelf? Gone, dead. It fell.
I mean, I assumed that thing was so omnipresent that it fell down, but it reconstituted.
No, it's like a gelatinous cube. It reformed into two smaller shelves, and then I just have them somewhere else.
Yeah, like how you read big books. You know, you rip them apart.
Yeah, or it's like if you need to make change, you just rip that $100 bill in half, and each half is worth 50. Actually, that is a thing you can do in Canada. If you haven't notarized by a bank, you can actually, you used to be able to do this.
Can you rip Canadian money?
Well, back when you could rip Canadian money now that it's all plastic.
Kind of like the horse.
The horse isn't plastic. The horse just had fantastic. A lot of Botox and a lot of like silicone. Listen, it's a very specific type of style. It's the steam. I call it MILF-tastic. But what is not MILF-tastic is the Steam's hardware survey results. That's a segue.
You walked into that. Go for it.
I did.
Yeah, no.
I did. Every month Valve puts out the results of the Steam hardware survey. You might get one periodically if you change your hardware, or if you're very lucky, or if you deleted that one file on your file system because you know how to trigger it. But we get a little bit of insight into the usage of Steam. Very limited. Valve has the real numbers. This is just the user reported stuff. But we're seeing that Linux, they gained quite a bit of market share. They're at, we're by quite a bit, I mean 0.5%, but hey, We're fighting to stay above that 1% range. That 0.5% really fucking matters. Looks like
you're just like sitting back and you're like, oh, you're getting excited about like fractions where it's like, that's all we got, man.
Listen, there are dozens of us. Right. Dozens. yeah, so Hollow ISO, leading the pack these days. Turns out that Steam Deck's pretty fucking popular. That's what we're hoping.
Man, I went to Amazon and I went to Fry's and I went to Micro Center. I'm like, yo, you gotta hook me up with one of these AMD custom GPU
4505.
Yeah, and they're like, get out of here. Leave. Go away. You're scaring customers.
Yeah.
No, they just hand you one of these. Like, hey, there you go.
Oh, that's what they were throwing at me. Okay.
The flat pack runtime is also got a drop in usage, I guess, because more people are using SteamOS. And for graphics cards, even though AMD just announced that the Vega series is EOL, we're still seeing people activating like Vega 8 GPUs. These are like APUs.
They're what are you very, talking about? Very popular. Yeah, they're setting up retro gaming rigs, man.
and it's like AMD. We just want like an RDNA 2. We don't even need RDNA 3 APUs. Give us an RDNA 2, like a good one. Our APU, yeah. Like, oh man.
People a proper GPU on something that isn't the Steam Deck, because yes, that clearly works. But yeah, give us a laptop, something like that. Though,
I want the 7600G, right? Like that's what I want.
Though, speaking of that, if you look at the CPU share for Linux specifically, it's very interesting these days. 70.69% is AMD. Granted, 43% of that is the Steam Deck, but still, how the turns have tabled. It's very good to see.
It's almost like AMD's been making competent CPUs for past 6 or 7 years, isn't it?
Yeah, but right? If you look at like the aggregate, it's still only 34% of the share. It's like, really? How is that still so low?
I don't know, like if you look at like their laptops. Linux vendors, yeah, 70% AMD and 30%. I believe that, but these are the type of people, like Intel users don't know how to answer surveys, Pedro. We've been over this. It confuses them. They just throw their devices on the ground and stomp around.
No, then, see, whenever the survey window comes up for an Intel user, their CPU overheats and it crashes.
They need more P cores. That's why
there's something to be said about Linux and Linux users love an underdog, because when we first started doing this show, didn't nobody know anybody, and all of us even back then had the dumpy AMD CPUs. Like every single one of us. Like if you knew a Linux user, I'm like yeah, had an AMD. Because why? We're like fighting the good fight, man. Intel got to take down Intel.
We're also cheap, and like those Intel CPUs were never price friendly.
Dude, they weren't, but I was even buying like the expensive AMD CPUs, man. I was getting like the top end bulldozer. Well, not the top end bulldozer, but the one that did
the motherboard melter, yeah, the 9590.
Yeah, I remember seeing that in college and like, oh my god, a 5 gigahertz CPU, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it required water cooling and like an 8-layer motherboard. Times have changed. It's really good to see. Almost 2%. This is again, we finished over Mac for another month. Apple users, go buy your games on your iStore. Developers, come up with some good excuses for supporting Mac and not Linux. I want to hear them. Keep me excited.
Apple paid us money.
Did they?
I'm making shit up, man. So yeah, sure. Why not? Uh-huh. We got a new client update. Check this out. November 29th. A couple of new things in here. Fixes for your overlay rendering issues. There was a chunk of them. Apparently, fortunately, I hadn't run into too many of them myself. The one that I'm like, I'm a little sad about is the Mac support. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but support for 1014 and it's gone. Bye-bye. You got to let it go. 1013 naturally, and you're going to lose all your 32-bit games moving forward. Now, they're not going anywhere, but if you upgrade and the Steam client's going to like warn you and you're not going to be able to run them on your new latest and greatest version of Mac OS on your antique ass hardware that you for some reason still have laying around. But Jordan,
this you mean this Intel Mac, this like 2023
don't make me go get my Mac? I will go get my M3, mister.
Go do it. I will sword fight you with this MacBook.
Another thing that got added was support for the Nikon Revolution 5 Pro. Now,
the price Revolution Pro, man.
I'm being mean. I'm just reading through the releases. I'm like, yeah, we're going to talk about this show. I'm like, you know what? What is a Nikon Revolution 5 Pro? I was like, oh, let's go check this out. What's this thing all about? How much is this going to run me? Because it looks like a PS5 and a scroll down. It's a $200 controller. I'm like, Jesus.
With 112 reviews, so at least 112 people have purchased this.
Yes, dude. And $199 Pedro, why is this thing made out of hand jobs?
That's Nikon controllers. I don't know why, but apparently the esports community is really big into the Nikon controllers. So,
because they're sponsored by them,
probably. But yeah, no, like esports people, if you see them not using the stock controller, it's usually
Pedro.
Either a Razer or an Nikon.
Pedro, I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
What esports games use controllers? I genuinely don't know.
I'm gonna say like at least one Call of Duty.
Okay, because I'm just saying, is like if we all show up at like the arena to watch the esports and they pull out controllers, I'm like, wrong world, open the wormhole back up.
You know what? Speedrunners.
Yeah, speedrunners use controllers a lot, but I was trying to think of there are shooters. I don't know if it's Call of Duty specifically, but I've seen the shooter competitions
fighting with games?
People using controllers.
Could fighting it. Well, they have like
there's still some division. Some people do prefer pad. Like
Rocket League. Thank you, Sandy. Thank you very much. Rocket League. There you go.
We don't talk about Rocket League anymore. Okay. It's dead to us. It never.
We got one. All right, done.
But yeah, it is. Those are the controllers that professional gamers use, apparently.
Professional gamers.
That's the type of shit somebody who spends $200 on a controller says to themselves, isn't it?
Well, yeah. That's why the DualSense Edge is also $200.
My theory is it's these Hall Effect joysticks, because they do come with the driftless joysticks. So they're like, you will only have to buy this controller once, as opposed to having to buy your DualSense multiple times or buying a repair kit. Like, that's... Mm. I bet you that is 90% of like the proposition. It's like, this is the last controller I will have to buy for this generation until the PS6 gets released. Then you got to buy all new fucking hardware because it's the same buttons, but who cares? Buy more money.
Yeah, you want the new thing. The EA Sports games, those have a professional competitive scene as well. Those are played with controllers. Going back to the Steam client update, the thing that stuck out to me was all the Linux updates is overlay, 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 overlay. Mm-hmm. Good. Let's fix the overlay.
Well, you think a lot of those are also like Steam Deck fixes as well, right? Because it makes heavy use of the overlay.
Sure, fucking desktop fixes, man. The quality of the desktop client has kind of been going...
it shows where the focus is.
Yes. Yeah, it does. A little bit. All right, up next is exciting news, unless you live in Japan.
Yeah, I know.
There's no way this could be exciting news, Vin. Period. Ever. Well, you know what? For Valve, maybe.
It is absolutely exciting news, because the deck, as we were talking about it, is possibly the first PC gaming platform that actually stands a chance in the very console-heavy Japan market. And the fine folks at Komodo is like, yeah, we have the Steam Deck OLED. Well, we had the Steam Deck OLED because now they're all sold out. Wow. Go figure. Yeah, you can still buy the 256 gig LCD version, the 512 OLED.
Not in your country.
Yeah. The 512 OLED and the 1 terabyte OLED are legone. Cannot have them anymore.
it makes sense because like the first gen deck was like pretty... it was really well received, like,
yes,
and it was very hard to get them, and then it's like, oh, this is that, but it's the better version, and so people are absolutely jumping on the
you definitely got too. Like generation two, like a lot of people are like, oh, look, finally Steam Deck 1.0 is ready.
Yeah
better screen, better battery, better just Wi-Fi. Better
yeah, all the shit that was, I hate to break this to you, wrong with the first generation Steam Deck. This is the point release. Thank you to all the brave souls doing all the testing and finding all the flaws.
And I'm still happy with my first gen Steam Deck. Honestly, like I'm in no rush to upgrade. Yeah.
The only thing I'll do to my deck is whenever someone figures out how to put the OLED screen on the old version, I'm absolutely doing that.
Then you're going to play Bloodborne on your PS4 after that evening's done with?
No. I tried playing Bloodborne on the PS4. The amount of motion blur and frame time hitching that happens? No. I want the PC version, please. Pretty please, Sony and From Software, pretty please. Speaking of games that are exclusive to consoles, I had a look on Mobi Games to see, it's like, okay, so console-wise, what's got the most games? And the Switch, obviously, it's got like 10,000-something games available for it. Currently, right now, the Steam Deck has 12,000, over 12,000 games. Just the games, if you filter by just games, including all the DLC and everything else, over 12,000 playable or verified.
And you know what? At least a third of it is hentai, so that's good prospects.
Yes, muscle building material.
Okay, again, why do we have to keep bringing up esports?
Oh man,
feedbacks aren't going to stimulate themselves.
I want to see some visual novel esports. I want to see Big Bill Health, but like it's not challenge pissing. It's the other thing.
VR. This is, I thought Pedro was going to let this one go, but he's like, I like these toasters.
No, I saw it. It's like, ooh, I might have to get
the... You were just looking for another excuse to thieve something from work.
Well, to thieve it back again, because I returned it because I wasn't using it.
That's how desperate you are to thieve something from work. You'll bring it back so you can steal it again.
Yes. But yeah, no, I don't think I'm going to get it again, because this apparently, according to at least the comments, doesn't work. This is the Steam VR remote desktop thingy, like Steam Link, effectively, for the Meta Quest 2, 3, Vita. And the Pro version. This isn't like proper Steam VR. This is virtual desktop. It's the Steam Link app, but for the... the Meta Android version that they come preloaded with.
So you can actually stream VR games with it, though. That's the idea.
Absolutely. But though, even those that don't support it, you can still use it as just like the desktop viewport. The recommendations or the minimum requirements specifically say Windows 10 or newer. It specifically doesn't list Linux, and I went through the comments. There's like 400 and something comments on it already. It's like, okay, control F Linux. Next page, control F Linux. There's a bunch of people saying that no, doesn't see it. Apparently, there's a little file that whenever you try to connect the Steam Link to your desktop client, it adds an entry to the log. And apparently, it's hitting the entry, but on the headset, doesn't show. It says there's no computer that meets the requirements running, so yeah, look forward to that working with Linux, and I might thieve the Quest 2 from work again.
What
game are you like looking forward to in terms of like VR? Is there anything?
Sega Fishing.
Fishing.
I don't have a specific game. I have a few like the Serious Sams and whatnot that I'm going to try. But I am really curious about the Skyrim VR. Not RE7 the default VR. Skyrim VR, but the mod that someone made for it that actually adds a bunch of the interactions that should have been there right from the start. Bethesda. But I'm really curious because I want to experience that. A lot of people say that that's transformative. That was like the transformative experience that they had with VR. So I kind of want to try that.
I mean, you can just sit back and play Meatball Saber.
Yeah.
It's just meatballs coming
beat
at you.
Meat Saber. You can beat that Meat Saber as much as you like. But
No. It's Meat Saber. It's like Beat Saber, except they're floppy.
But that's the thing. You can play Beat Saber already on the Quest 2 because it's just you play the Android version.
Jordan, no, I want like the floppy pet wiggly. You know what type of wiggly we're talking about, too, right?
Rhythmic gymnastic shit. Like, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, you might be familiar with XKCD 303, right?
Yes.
Right in your head. Comes to mind. Are you thinking about it?
I'm not slacking off. Codes compiler.
Yeah. Get back to work.
Compiler. Yeah.
Riding on your chair. You know, this is, I'm just saying to anybody, it's stuck in an office, this valid excuse, man. Like, I don't want to hear no shit if you got some things going on. Well, somebody.
Well, I guess it only works if you're in your using like a compiled language like Rust or C. But,
yeah, like, fair. Like, stay away from Python.
No, yeah, Node. Even Java doesn't take that long to compile. Yeah. Like, yeah.
You know what? Yeah, go with Rust. Rust is really going to give you the most fuck around per line of
Indeed.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, and if you got a stern talking to from your boss about colliding with other coworkers, but you still want to live that life. Coffee breaks might be for you. It is office chair jousting. It's got multiplayer. It's got online multiplayer, which is like crazy in this day and age. You'd think that this is a standard feature for party games, but it's not. It is free to play. And yeah, you try and force people off of, I guess, into radioactive goop off of buildings, but you're on office chairs. There's a couple different game modes. The resolution options are completely fucking borked, aren't they, Ben?
Bit knackered.
Yeah, you go and change it, and then it goes to like 640 by 480, but then you can, if you switch it to windowed mode, then you can drag it to the actual resolution you want.
I went from like 1080p, then I'm like, okay, well, let me make it, how small can I get it? I meant it on like 640, got larger. I'm like, oh, okay, never mind. Just stay away. Don't look at it directly in the eyes. Just drag it out to whatever you need it to be. Yeah, office chair, it's got a bunch of different mini games, but why are we bringing it up? We're probably going to play around with it in the after shows, and it's free to play.
Yeah.
Online PvP. It works on your LAN. It's got a split screen. It's got achievements. I just wanted to give it a shot because, hey, man, online multiplayer. Go. You require the X64 architecture, so no 32-bit. Okay, and some Steemos.
Teraflops. I like the teraflop recommendations, although that those graphics, man. RDNA 2 with 8X CUs. Mm.
Don't you love it when, like, cards are like advertised, ah, it's capable of X number of flops. Like, I fucking care. Right? Like,
No. You pull up the floptionary and do the conversion from the fuck ever thing that.
I fully start doing it
in BOGO MIPS.
I fully look forward to the litany of hate mail that's like, my flops count on my computer is my mark of joy and pride. In
some
my
people
system.
Keep track of that. What we need is a universal Olympic swimming pool calculator. Yes. As much shit ends up as being measured by Olympics. So it's like, what's in it? It's like, get out of here.
I think the people who keep track of the teraflops the most are the console people, because whenever there's a new console, it's like, oh, it's the new 7 teraflop PS5.
Because I remember when we were talking about, like,
nothing more exciting than watching console peasants talk tech. I mean, yeah. Like, it is fucking adorable.
I had a friend once ask me when I was talking about, like, I'm really excited about getting this new video card. But yeah, how many flops is it? Like, do you know what that means?
No.
Are you, like, and it's like, why do I care about, like, supercomputer floating point operations a second? Like,
well, I mean, they're legitimately having the same conversations that we've all had, like, in grade school on the playground, but they're adults now, and it's still equally, like, it's cute to, like, peek in, like, that's how you think that shit works, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
It's like, okay, teraflops, are we talking single precision or double precision? Well,
as Strider loves to ask, what's your workload? What workload is this that you care about?
What's your use case?
My use case is War 4. Used to be called Warsaw. A great game that I've never forgot in the entire history of time. I've always known it was War 4. It was the easiest thing for me to search for on Steam all the time. Just look it up sometimes.
It wasn't, because last week I was just like, I know there's a version of Warsaw that got released on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted, just like, I went through all the variations of it, and I could only find, like, the DLC for historically based strategy games. Because of the city of Warsaw, but no, as it turns out, it's called Warfork.
All you gotta do is type in oink bitches Steam and it'll show up. Hello, forkers. So a couple of things in this, man. They are currently looking for people to help out with the ongoing Steam integration efforts. They're trying to get this thing, like, up and working, making it a real boy, making it easier to do things like multiplayer, all the stuff that you would normally expect to have in a good Steam title, few and far between. Discord integration, so get off our lawns, because Discord's so old now that it's getting embedded into Warfork, which formerly Warsaw. Very modern. However, don't feel too bad, kids. because the minimum requirement for this bad boy is still Debian 9. That's old. That's old. Like, there it is. I love seeing just out of nowhere updates, and this is an entire page. Now, there was some history with it. Look, this thing's so old, it's got 4x3 screenshots, dude. I mean,
yeah, it still runs. The minimum requirement is OpenGL 3. Mm-hmm. You can run that on your, I don't know, the ThinkPad T43 with the Radeon Mobility X300, because that supports OpenGL 3, so go nuts.
I'd like to get some more people into this, because, like, right now, if you play Warfork, formerly Warsaw, you're dealing with the type of people that play this game, and they will murderate you.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because they've been playing for as long as it's been out, which has been, like, what, 20 years or something? They got a lot of experience.
And, you know, this is like first-person shooter. You can think, and what's the big claim to fame for this? It's always been wall jumping.
Yeah. It was Quake 3 with wall jumping. Yeah.
It even makes the burp sound, but legally different. Yeah, sounds you can hear, right?
Yeah.
Somehow it's in early access, even though it's free to play, and yeah, it doesn't cost anything. Just go ahead and grab it, play with it, cross-platform, and how are the reviews on this? Let's see what
pretty universally good. The only complaints I did see are just like, the game is dead. No one's playing it.
Yeah, we gotta see what a negative review on a free-to-play open source game looks like. Don't waste your time on a dead game. All right.
Yeah.
It seems like a great game scratches ping a server at all. There's very few you're just gonna get wrecked. I mean, there's four people playing it and they're all better than you. Cool.
Good old Mo Lester. Yeah.
Dead game. 18 players a day. That's 18 people that'll fuck you up, buddy.
Yeah. Can't open it. Can't run a 20-year-old game. That might be on you, buddy. Yeah, but it's nice to see people keeping it up to date with some like modern quality of life features. Like, we've really been spoiled with like right click join via Steam and just like all of the Steamworks integration.
Dude,
like,
as much as we've complained about Quake Beth Mastered,
it's easy to get into
the lobby, dude. Like, yeah. Come on, like, yeah. What?
Compared to what it used to be, oh my god, it's frictionless. It's like, it's butter. Like, yeah. Well, I guess that does it for game updates.
All right,
now,
we'll brush off the Steam because Steam sticks to me for some reason.
All yeah, right. You gotta towel yourself off, dry up a little bit. Now we gotta talk about hats and X hats.
Pour one out.
Red hats
for X. No, not that one. The other one. Xorg. Red Hat's kicking it in the dick and pushing it out of the airplane, man. Because that's how Red Hat rolls these days. Yeah. I mean. This has been coming, man. So the long and short of this, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I saw it making the rounds, and with a panic, I'm like, oh man, Wayland's finally here. Wayland's going to be here when it's Wayland only on Red Hat, and that year is going to be 2032, aka the year of the Wayland desktop. And like, really, there's no more to say about that. Jordan, what are they doing? I mean, you're going to have X Wayland. How about Fedora, man? Do I got to worry about that?
No, because this is, they go in the blog post and say, this is a decision that they made for RHEL and RHEL only. They talked with a lot of their partners who are using a lot of the RHEL graphic stack. And as far as they're concerned, most of the stuff that their customer base requires out of Wayland is there. So, and they figured that by 2032, they can cinch the remaining blockers. And that will be the enterprise offering. Fedora is under entirely separate governance, so whatever Fedora is going to be doing is going to be separate from RHEL. RHEL will eventually take that work, because that's what they do. They just cut a version of Fedora, harden it, and then they sell it as Red Hat Enterprise Linux. So, and what they're saying is, if you are going to need X in that time, stay on RHEL 9 until it goes EOL, and that's kind of it. Made the big major Enterprise Linux provider is going to be pushing this forward, and hopefully this gets some motion going, because it's been a while. People are starting to get impatient. People have been impatient. People are impatient.
Pedro, do you think in 8 years Wayland's going to be ready?
Honestly, I've been using Wayland for a while, and yes, there is a lot that's still missing, but what is there works, and it works really well. It's very lean on the ground, and there's a lot of, basically, if you just want to play video games at this point, it is absolutely usable, and you'll get a lot better frame times and a lot more consistency and a lot less tearing if you're using Wayland.
What is it's collaborate working on with Wine Vulcan Wayland integration?
So that is native output as opposed to using X Wayland. They in their latest blog post, they're saying, or at least in the latest patch that they sent out, most of it is working. The only thing that is a little screwy is like mouse positioning for first person shooters.
Mm-hmm. You can see the result of that if you try to use GameScope on the desktop and you have. Basically, if you have the mouse sensitivity set way too low, like I do, or way too high, because GameScope uses a predefined mouse sensitivity, so like the input mapping in between different Wayland sessions, as it were, is still a little screwy. But yeah, it is, for the most part, both Gnome and KDE have their own implementations of Wayland at this point. We will get to that, don't worry. Yeah. But it is the big blocker here, and yeah, they're saying that RHEL 10 is planned to be released on the first half of 2025, so that's going to be when Wayland becomes the default for them, and at that point, is NVIDIA just going to keep running RHEL 9 and building their drivers and CUDA and everything on RHEL 9 until they can't justify it anymore?
At this point, if they don't, NVIDIA will just fucking buy IBM.
to that point, I think we're seeing that NVIDIA is putting a lot more work into the Wayland stuff now. Maybe as a result of this, maybe there's some back channel comms that we're just not seeing.
You're not going to see legitimate movement from NVIDIA until they have to. What's the business incentive to do that for fucking a couple of salty ass gamers?
And as long as X Wayland keeps working, then yeah, they don't have to.
Well, considering they just got that working, I mean, they best not be sitting on that laurel for too long.
And I've said, when it comes to Wayland, I'm looking forward to it. I'm waiting on my preferred, like anybody else would too, right? And, if you were like entrenched in KDE or KDN or GNOME, and you're like, okay, once I can do that on Wayland, I'm going for it. I've been like that with XFCE. It might be a minute. I was reading over on Hacker News, man. The guy working on it, he's like, there's some stuff that still needs to get fixed in Wayland before with that. you're not in for a good time when somebody brings up X12.
I did like his thing about, okay, WL Roots does way too much, so it doesn't work for like having a generic compositor for what he's trying to do. And the back of my mind is just going, use GameScope. GameScope is pretty bare bones as it is. It is very much currently meant to show everything as a full screen window, but you can change that. And it's a lot smaller than WL Roots. It does a lot less, but it renders everything, and it renders everything so well that it's in a commercial product. So.
It has game in it, though, so it can't be for regular people.
Fork it and call it XFWM mode.
I'd like to stay on top of this, and especially with XFCE development, because you want to talk about a very fucking stable code base that just does one thing and it does it well, like that old school philosophy of just like, hey, man, I will just run until the end of days and you never have to worry about me. That's the person I'm curious about. Like, that's the take I fucking want with what's going on and what they're going through. So there'll be a link to everything in the show notes. But it doesn't matter because X is dying and we're getting rid of Wayland anyway.
Yeah, no, Wayland's dead. So if you want to play your PS2 games, can't use Wayland. PCSX2, the lone survivor. Well, there's a few
other PS2. There's something to be said about bluntness when it comes to...
The PS2 emulator that basically won the war just went, yeah, no, we're disabling Wayland and we're cleaning out a bunch of stuff. But if you still want to use Wayland, you can use the environment variable. I want a broken Wayland UI, which very good. They
you
have
are,
some...
you were warned. It's not yeah. not a Linus proof warning though, so watch out.
They go into the why. They have a little description of the changes, and
this
basically,
is what I look for in my render. Not too buggy.
No, yeah, that's the thing. It disables Wayland. It's broken slash buggy in basically every scenario. KDE isn't too buggy. GNOME is a complete disaster, and I would be lying if I said I didn't appreciate that line a little bit. Yeah, apparently the biggest problem with GNOME is the, as they call it, stupid obsession with CSD and the inconsistency that that causes. Their implementation, you basically couldn't set the windows properly as they wanted to set them. They had to basically hack their way around to get things rendering properly in Wayland. NVIDIA... The NVIDIA swap chain situation on Wayland's just not happening. So they decided, you know what? You can still use X Wayland. So just go nuts.
And there, like, and honestly, like, now that NVIDIA is getting their shit together, like, I think X Wayland is going to be fine for a lot of applications that don't need, like, a lot of the more esoteric X feature set. And yeah, like, it like, as the blog post says, like, this is not a Wayland hate. There is, like, technical reasons why this wasn't working. There's still work that needs to be done. This was the guy who wanted to do this in the first place. So, like,
right. He's this was my idea. So
yeah. And yeah, again, you can still run your PS2 games in Wayland. X Wayland runs fine. X Wayland will continue to run fine. Honestly, like, it really is just the stuff like desktop environments that need to be concerned with the switchover, and like newer applications and frameworks that need to support multiple render backends. But like,
this is just natural progression. I mean, people are going to start smacking into this stuff. Why? Because more people are taking Wayland seriously.
Yeah, and it's getting use.
This is how the system is designed to work. You know, we're going to find all these shortcomings, and you're going to run into shit like this. And this guy's not like, he's not writing it off. He's like, we need to fucking get better. I'm not pushing out something that I know is going to be a fucking dumpster fire. Because you've got to deal with support on that.
I mean, that's kind of it, right? It's pretty kind of great. And the guy's like, yeah, those of you who picked this up and looking for drama, there's no drama here. This is, it just didn't work well. So
it's literally a decision born out of necessity and them not being stressed out because the thing that they're trying to do isn't working properly. Absolutely.
Pedro, how come you have a big blinking text that says fuck no LOL on your screen right now? That
he's got like the knuckle tattoos. He's like, yeah. Fuck no.
KDE users, man. Jeez.
I don't know. I'm going to blame Future Van for the editing job that's happening right now.
Yeah, on his fingers every time. It's just a gnome. The episode's going to be delayed by a couple days, but it's worth it.
If you put me some dots on your knuckles, I can make that shit happen easily.
Have anything.
We don't have enough show for that. Did you know how long it took you to figure out how to open a marker?
If you don't want to play PlayStation 2 games, maybe you want to play PC games. You want to play indie games, not some of those AAA games with their budget and their crunch and their worker abuse. You want stuff made in crunch times by people just working by themselves for no money. This is the results of the Game Off 2023 from itch.io. The game jam itself is over, so you can't submit games anymore. But the voting for victory will be going on for the next month or so. The theme this year was scale, and looking through the list of games, there's actually quite a good like range of interpretations of the theme.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Duckmaster, motherfucker. There's a lot of shooters, there's a lot of tower climbers, there's a lot of like strategy stuff. If you're looking for some weird experimental stuff and that's not going to take you too long to play, check this stuff out. Vote on the winner.
I mean, why would you ever play a game that says you're trapped in Santa's all sold? Let's go.
Yeah.
Oh. There were a couple of them that looked interesting. What is it? I had it earlier and now I can't find it. Corpus Esprit. That one, I like the color scheme of it.
Yeah, so some of them have some like really cool aesthetics. But like, again, they're game jam games, so they're all like very, very minimal. They have like one or two mechanics. But like, there's a lot of cool stuff that have come out of game jams. Like,
it's always fun to like just come in and like take a look at them. Like, this, you know, these are very well. Well, this one looks like somebody's put some more serious work in it. Dragon's Veil. That turned out to be like games 3 or 4 years. You know, these are ideas. Yeah, these are concepts.
Inscription. What was the one with the shapes? You pick it up, and you like scale it up. I'm forgetting the name of it. Superliminal.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Superliminal. Yeah. That was a game jam game, right? Like, so yeah, it's always good to see like it's the base elements before they get developed into like proper products, right?
Yeah. This is like step one, and well, step one and. Okay, now we're just down into like people like whatever. I'm in.
Jeez. Jeez, the game.
Technically compliant. There you go.
Coming up next is a bit of good news. If you you know, not everything's Steam 24/7, it's not Steam all the time. You got other launchers to launch your other games from GOG, Amazon, Itch,
Battle.net,
GOG. Yeah, no, all right. I'm
Desura.
You play Humble? Ubisoft Connect, whatever they're calling it now.
Yeah. All these EA other Play. And one great tool to do that is Heroic Games Launcher. And they got a nice update. Nice update. 2.11.0. The big thing here is you can do categories. Yes. Custom categories are back on the menu. So when you're trying to like go through your library, I know I run into this all the time, man. When you're looking for your favorite horror FPS RPG racing sim, you can't keep all that together, and now you can. You can just like boom.
Isn't set that
it all
just
together.
Trackmania though?
No, man, it's a little Big Planet.
It's Midnight Club. It's right there in the name.
I think this is cool. Like this is end user ease of use type shit that gets fucking neglected. People don't think about it. We'll put it in fucking later. But here it is.
Yes.
Like this is thinking about the users. I like this.
It's very good because even, you know, Valve, they took years before they got the Steam categories to the point that they are now, and even worse.
Mildly usable?
Yeah, even worse, there were many, many times that I'd set up custom categories before the update that made them mildly usable, that then there was an update and all of my categories were gone, or I signed into a different computer and all of my categories are gone on both computers. So it's good to have that. Please don't break it, because when you break it, that's when people go, oh, this is fucking useless. I'm out.
One thing I like about Heroic though is, I mean, it's available as an app image, and like it's in the ARM, and everywhere you would go, they even have a .dmg.blockmap for whatever the fuck that is.
they do, and they even have a bunch of improvements for Mac gamers, because Mac gamers do deserve love too, but
yeah,
only a little, only
and it, like the best Epic Store client is an open source one that's also available on Windows, so. Go figure.
I think it's a good time. It is. What do we got up next? All right. We got Steam Decks at Home.
Oh, yes. This is from TechRadar.com. Links to all this in our show notes. Oh, my God. Microsoft has just dropped an atomic bomb on the Steam Deck, the Xbox dun, dun, dun. App. It has a compact mode. It removes a bunch of the icon labels and moves everything to the corner. Oh, my God. Could this be the end of the Steam Deck as we know it?
What is wrong with that Steam Deck? It looks diseased. Wait.
Right. Yeah. No. That's
the Legion. Legion.
That is the Legion. But that's it. That's the update. The Xbox app on Windows has a compact mode. And that's it. But I do wonder though, is this the start of a trend? Because like, after like the iPad and iPhones came out, we started seeing like touchscreens be like the cool new interface thing that everyone wants to implement. We saw like a lot of Windows-based touchscreen devices. We saw like KDE and GNOME. GNOME fucking completely redesigned their shit to be better, more effective with touchscreens. KDE also.
Look how compact that is, brah.
I know the icon labels
are
gone.
That looks strangely familiar. Where did I see that? Oh, that's the Steam Big Picture mode, right?
Yeah.
I don't see any fucking bells in my big picture.
I know though, but like,
here's the thing. Time.
Though.
No, there's a bell. There's a bell. Bottom left corner.
Are we going to see gamepad support in desktops? Is like GNOME and KDE, are they going to be like, no, we need to get gamepad support so that you can use your desktop on the Steam Deck? I just love
that this is there because you can fuck with your friends. You can enable this shit and not tell them about it. They're like, that the fuck you do to my PC? App, and I'm though. Like, why do you always blame me for this? And like, because you always, I'm like, there, but dude, Microsoft, you fucked up. You should have stuck with Windows 8, son. Windows 8 had this, RT.
Like,
Windows 8 had tiles. It was touch thing.
That was all the touch things, yes.
Yeah, it pissed off everybody, man. Like, you had like three well, different home screens and you had to like
they got do a hack. Start menu.
Desktop as an app.
Mm. you could have two different versions of the same fucking application. It was dope as hell, man. should have stuck with that. Should have drove that all the way down. However, you can compact mode all the fuck you want. Here's the problem though, Brad. Which this is something Microsoft you're full aware of. A chunky desktop doesn't work great on a handheld. Microsoft understands that. Doesn't even make a good gaming device, much less a handheld. Like, how dare you say that? Do you think you have a full version of Windows running on that Xbox? You don't.
Well, even like look at the Steam Deck, right? Like, when you drop into desktop mode on the with like just the keyboard with just the touch areolas and whatnot, it's a pretty crappy experience, honestly. Most of the time you're in that big picture mode because that is the gamepad optimized UI, because that's what you're using the device for, right? I guess this is the same thing here, where like, well, instead of having like Lenovo Legion's overlay, you boot into Windows and then just opens up the Xbox app, and then you have this.
But know? I mean, the internals and guts will end up still being Windows, and it's just gonna be like, ooh.
Well, and you're going to have like the Windows Starter Edition because like it needs to be stripped down to run well on the fucking handheld. Right?
Oh, right. So then you got to go over to Windows Stripper 92.ru.
You go to the Windows Stripper is my type in Windows 11 Gamer Edition and download that.
What do you think the under and over is? There's no market for it. There's no market for it as much as we'd like to pretend, and as much as Microsoft was like, well, we might look into it. Unless, all right, hang on, there's a qualifier for the, there's an asteroid strike over here of Microsoft. The incentive of them just creating a version of Windows that is made for, you know, hand, it was like, we already make that. It's called Xbox. Buy an Xbox, fucko, get out of here. However, you know, Microsoft would just do that. This is like surprising, like, okay, I get where you're going with that. Unless Microsoft does a handheld, which is not complete. Like, we talked about it a couple of months ago. Like, they had a little, not a prototype, but like a patent. Like, we're thinking about doing a handheld, or it might have been possible. It was in the idea stack at one point at Redmond.
They're trying to optimize Windows for gamepad as, like, an experiment.
Yeah, like the game UI thingy that they were doing. And yes, Valve has proven that if you cut down the price enough, you can have a very popular handheld. And it would probably behoove
Valve has proven that you can cut down the price if you ship your store with the product.
Yeah. I mean, they are platform holders. Sony and Microsoft have already proven that they can do that with the regular
Microsoft wants Game Pass on PlayStation.
Yeah. Like, imagine a heavily subsidized handheld that, like, oh yeah, just pay your however much a month for Game Pass, play however many games you want on the go. That is a very disruptive.
It would behoove Microsoft, even if they don't make their own, to have it available. Even if they don't want to make it available on Linux, because that would be the direct competitor.
Well, we're seeing Valve right now. They're like, we want to get SteamOS on these other handhelds. So
we see Valve right now going, calm the fuck down. We can barely make this run on the Steam Deck. We're not doing anything else right now. Let's get this fixed. So yeah, I couldn't imagine like Microsoft coming out going, yeah, we'll make it universal. Like, see how well Windows runs on everything.
Look at the Lenovo Legion.
Look at the ROG Ally. Yeah, no, it is absolutely, it makes sense given the popularity of the Steam Deck and everything else, like the ROG Ally, because that's the other reasonably priced one.
A brilliant idea. Okay, what was the PlayStation thing called?
The Portal.
Is it called the fucking Portal?
It is called the Portal.
Oh, goddamn. Microsoft's going to make one, but it's going to be tethered. It's going to require a video cable plugged into your
Xbox. It requires the Kinect.
It's not wireless. It'll stream over a cable. It's 2 meters.
Always online, too.
That would that would get them laughed at a lot. But I wouldn't put it past them. But no, it is. It makes sense to have like the Game Pass and the Xbox app to be a lot more conformant given the popularity of handhelds, because the Steam Deck made them popular. Because hey, cheap. Go figure.
But let's also not discount the fact we may see an Xbox app for the Steam Deck. That is a very real possibility.
It would be nice. There's a lot of people clamoring for it.
Oh, you guys want to go, like, let's get some yarn out and hang that shit on the wall with some other Pepe UFOs Sylvia. And shit. Steam on the Xbox.
Yeah, maybe.
Fucking x86, man. Yeah, you got to make some changes, but not that many.
Or like, even Steam streaming on the Xbox, right? Because that's what they're doing that with the VR headset, right?
Yeah, just have the Steam Link app on the Xbox, yeah?
What about Microsoft Game Pass inside of Steam? Like, they have the EA thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
that would be the thing.
Or that, because the Phil Spencer and like the Xbox division, they're not like old Microsoft. They want to get their shit everywhere. They want to be the default. Like, look at what happened.
Are you calling Xbox Gaming Division a bunch of hoes?
They are a bunch of hoes. Who doesn't
Phil
like hoes?
Spencer, you ho.
Well, who doesn't like hoes? Honestly. I love hoes. Do you like hoes? I love them.
Calm down, Santa.
Oh, I'll kill you, Billy. And your family too.
That's pretty much all we got for that. But if you want to tell us, like, what's your crazy moon bet idea that you have? Who's going to release the next handheld? What's going to be the big thing? What something's going to eventually replace the
Game Gear 2.
And it's going to be the Nintendo Switch 2, because those crackheads are not going to be able to help themselves. But like, maybe as a third option, you can send us some feedback. You can head over to linuxteamcast.com. We got a contact form. Hit it, smash it, ring bells, whatever you got to do to get there. Leave us a comment on YouTube video. Maybe we get back to you there. Patron post. So many ways. Just don't like do a passing comment in our Discord or like on social media, because it'll just get lost in the fucking wind. And we might read it on this very show, because last week somebody, I think, was trolling us. Man, I want to believe somebody was trolling us. And they're like,
running WinRAR.
Yeah, it's like, so I got RAR set up. I install WinRAR with Y. And I'm like, I still don't want to believe that. And, you know, we shared our thoughts on, like, what's the best RAR GUI floating around out there? And some people was like, hey, talking about RAR, I got something.
Yeah, Jin writes in, I hope it's the Jin from American Gods, because I'm a big fan of you.
Yes, big fan of that Jin.
Says, hey, I'm a Linux enjoyer for the last 13 years or so. Been listening for a few years, too.
I just got to stop podcasts. You right there. Linux enjoyer sounds like somebody's talking about, like, you know, that chronic-ass pothead that don't want to fess up to it? And they were like, oh, I enjoy the occasional.
I am a halberd enjoyer. I like me some polearms. Anyways, says, been listening for a few years too. Love the podcast. No regrets. So, in yesterday's episode, 588, you recommended some software for unpacking RAR files in Linux, and it shocked me. Because last week, I wanted to install Zombie Panic mod for Half-Life, which means I had to move the RAR file from a Windows 10 VM, which I use for specific 3D tools, extract it, then move it back to the shared SMB folder in Linux. Like a caveman. Thank you for the recommendation. I never expect to learn anything from podcasts, or form podcasts, but I was pleasantly surprised, D. BTW, can we have a bigger input box message, please? Regards to Scully and his team. Keep rocking.
Scully? Is that Frank?
Shut up, Mulder.
Whatever, Johnson.
What do you think, cigarette smoking man?
I'm seriously trying to remember like X-File characters at this point. I'm like, shit, I think we got Mulder. We have to start.
I got Mulder, Scully, and the cigarette smoking.
Yeah, cancer.
Colonel Caldwell, right? Like, yeah.
I would show you a magic trick. My contact form. Watch this. Watch this.
You drag the corner.
Make it smaller. Ha.
Yeah, you can see the one corner that has a little triangle highlight. That's the one you drag.
Now, in his defense, I've made that as visually invisible as possible.
Yes, our black and gray website theme is very, very friendly for these
Yes.
sites.
Yeah, no, you try to read linuxgamecast.com on a phone during the day? You can.
Outdoors, maybe, because
yeah.
Okay. Then you get other problems, like if you're out and about, like trying to read our website. Yeah. So, with like RAR files, they're omnipresent. We talked about that in the pre super shows, and if you really want to get like my RAR file, damn, RAR files is a hard thing for my brain to spit out.
Can you say RAR file 10 times fast?
I probably fucking could, but I just don't want to. One thing I do want to do is shout out everybody supporting the show. If you want to do that, head over to patreon.com/LinuxGamecast. You get the after show, which we're about to pop into. It's the extended version of all of our podcasts, a live and uncut version if you just want to listen to the live stream at your schedule, because I like doing that myself. That's why I make it available. I wish more shows would do it. And a bunch of other bonus sodas, access to our Discord, and gangs of extra content. But that's not all we got. We got LibrePay, we got PayPals, we got all types of ways. We even got that magic internet money. But we got Amazon wish lists. If you want to pick up something from one of the hosts, like Jordan, Jill, Pedro, or the LGC Studio, who's a host somehow, you can. You get to send in a note, and we will read whatever you type within reason. It's a horrible idea. Right here on the show, we also got a merch store, Amazon storefront, and Humble affiliate code. Thanks, everybody, making this show possible. Even if you're just sharing it or showing up, catching the show live, we do appreciate it. There we go. Is that all the plugin? Or...
Yeah.
Yes, we have the most horrible ideas.
I guess we got to thank North Ranger as well for pledging some cash.
Yes.
Yeah, he's back on our Patreon. Not that he ever went anywhere, but thank you very much, North Ranger.
Popping in, popping out. Hey, man, if it shows up, yeah, we're just robots. We're like, yes, read the thing. Done.
Yes. Yes, master.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this train wreck. Let's pull it back in the station. If you want to get a hold of me on the social medias, you can do that. I'm on a... There you are, motherfucker. I haven't heard from you in a while. Yeah. X is going to give it to you. X formerly Twitter, as it's now. God, man, somebody registered X formerly Twitter.com.
I want
that. I'm there. I'm at Vinstone. I'm on Blue Sky Social, which I have fuck all idea what that is, but I'm there. Just type in Vin. I think I'm the only Vin on Blue Sky. And of course, our Mastodon. I've been there for like 6 to 8 years or whatever. Mast.linuxsteamcast.com. Which does work, as we've proven in Pedro's alt account that I'm scared to even look for. I'm just at Vin, hanging out over there.
Hi, I'm FBI agent Dana Scully. You can follow me on Twitter at Burning Fool, on Blue Sky at Frojo.
Dana, go back to American Gods. I really liked you in American Gods.
No, they didn't pay me enough money. Also, they fired Orlando Jones. Mastodon, I'm Frojo at mast.linuxgamecast.com. Go follow me.
And yes, Mastodon at unaccounted for with the actual number 4 at mast.linuxgamecast.com. It is the last of the social networks that I believe I'll ever be a part of, because if Mastodon goes away, I fuck it. I can't. I don't want to deal with it
anymore. I don't think it can go away at this point. It's decentralized.
Yeah, no. So hopefully...
It's going to be the same 3 people posting on it forever. It's like Warsaw, but for Twitter.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome. Time for some credits.
I'm not going to Threads. Fucking Facebook.
You don't want more advertising from Instagram? What are you talking about? Well, what I'm talking about is our lovely advisors, Omega Star Theron.
What you talking
and
about?
Our executive producers. Bob Bram, Scott Michaud, Atomic Ass, Mike G, Drummer, Tomas, Hakim, David, Eshep, and Ian, and our Lin Lick fans, Super Destote, Empty, Glorious Eggy, and Nubbin.
And all the sea monsters, Renoa, Rider, X, Machina, Tregi, Veritanuda, Justin, Nubbin, Darkwing, System T, Dunzing, Joe, Ogiwan, and Kyrillo. So many death notes, it's very hard to read them all right now. Nova, Basil, Chad, Romeo.
They're all Renee, people. Door-to-door geek, Kim, Douglas, and Evandro.
And Aromatic Dev, and
Monica.
Piper. Tim. And North Ranger, thank you for resubbing.
And all of our fine upstanding cannibals, Carl, Mike, Arthur, and Linux, New, Aldeus, Noctilus, Johnny, Shep, Gamatron, Unoid, DSN, Joe, Hermetic, Devin, Kai, Joe, Rye.
You are all truly wonderful.
All right. I want you, every one of you, run out there and put all your friends' Windows devices in compact mode.
I want to believe.
enable tablet mode on all of their devices.
Enable Windows 8 mode.
Dude, I mean, listen, this is what they won't do it because everybody who's physically interacted with the Windows on-screen keyboard has set their PC on fire. Dying of fire, everyone. Speaking of, see you next week.
Pedro, did you use Server 2012?
Five dudes.